Hello? Why are you saying... Can you say something, Seuss?
What's up, world? I was so taken aback by the aggression.
That's why we don't have video on, because...
Hi, what's up, world? It's your girl, Seuss.
And I'm Sky. Because why? Because I'm fly. I'm straight from the A. You know, where they got the chickens in the hay. Currently in my best and fresh in the Wild Wild West. And I'm with who?
Where the fuck are you looking at hay? In California. I'm so confused right now. What?
Shit. Oh, man. I said I'm from the A. Get to introduce yourself, please. Okay.
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sills. Be A all day. Two up, two down. Chilling in what was sunny Los Angeles today. Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm here. But I'm ready. Let's do this.
And who are we? We're Shea Butter FC. We're a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on football, soccer, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin
and lay your edges
and deepen your love for all things black women. Okay, well, I'm gonna let you get it together. So it's a special episode.
Yes, why is it special? Why are we laughing?
When we say we, it's not just Sky and I today. We brought guests with us. It's another whoosh whoosh Iverson crossover. Yeah, don't ask. I forgot video was on, so yeah. That's
And who do we have? We have the tall ones. We have Sir Skyscraper. Hello, Andre. Wow.
Hi.
Oh, man. He hates it so much.
Old tall one. Dig in Andre. And we also have, and the reason I can't get through the intro is Courtney.
My son, I have a cramp. Oh my god.
And we also have Courtney, old tall one.
Oh man.
The WNBA tall, Courtney Stiff. What's good, Coach?
Hi.
That's why we don't have video.
Just trying to recover from Sky. Really, the beginning of this.
It was so aggressive.
I'm from Atlanta.
When you said hey, we were like, where's this going?
Atlanta is country. You have hay and chicken in Atlanta. Shout out to the chicken coop I used to live nearby. But anyway,
I was like lemon pepper wings.
Shout out to Crystal Dunn's chickens. I don't know. Cool.
Hey, she could. If she likes Atlanta, she can go. All right. But anywho, what are we going to do?
Okay.
So this week, we're going to open the Woso Library, Reading Room, Auditorium. We're going to be in the pulpit to talk about the shenanigans, because y'all know how to act. Then what else are we doing?
We're going to give, briefly, our favorite NWSL or WSL or any other European leagues, Liga MX, Femme, all the football that happened over the past week. We can just touch on anything that stood out to us.
And then we're going to do a collaborative effort on our Shea Butter FC superlatives.
And as always, we're going to end with our hits and riffs and probably a modified rants and raves of the week.
It's going to be raised because it's going to be a lot of rent.
Yeah.
And that's a good, let's cue the system. Doom, 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 doom. What is a sad sound to open the library? But anyway.
It sounded like a wedding march. Like, I don't know.
I'm just laughing at Courtney's face right now.
for some people, the wedding march is sad. Okay. Fine.
Hey, it is for some people.
Sky said doom, 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 and I just raised an eyebrow.
You never know where it's going. It's a journey.
Okay, it's a journey. But anyway, so let's go. Let's hop into it. All right. So, you know, as soccer exists, you know, we are black people. Everybody black. So we cannot divorce the fact when there is racism across the sport. Because y'all was on new levels of white supremacy and racism. But this last week. So we're going to talk about it. So where are we going to start off? Are we going to start off in the MNSL?
Let's go international and then work our way.
Okay, yeah, let's work our way.
Just call the MLS the MNSL.
Wait, I might have to use that.
I was like, the that's actually hilarious.
That is. I was like, I might have to use that. Like,
the Mena cell is a good one.
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's go international. So, what happened?
So, there was a derby, this past Sunday in Madrid. I struggle to say rivalry because one team is very dominant in that matchup. But Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid played each other in Atletico Madrid's home stadium. And leading up to the match after Real Madrid's previous match, where I believe Vinicius Jr. either scored or assisted, I can't remember. Koke, who plays for Atletico Madrid, seemed really upset about Vinny Jr., who is a black Brazilian soccer player, dancing. And I don't have the quote pulled up, I probably should, but it ended with monkey, dancing monkey, something along those lines. Which, of course, again, a very dark-skinned black, young black man, and the connotation of monkey globally is very understood when talking about black players. Obviously, his Brazilian teammates came to his defense, his Real Madrid teammates came to his defense. Many people condemned it because it's so blatantly racist. And then he himself put out what I thought was a wonderful statement, speaking very proudly of his blackness, and saying in the middle of the quote, "I ain't stopping." So, yeah. And then at the game on Sunday, there is video of Atletico Madrid fans doing a chant, I guess, that roughly translate to, "We don't want any dancing monkeys here." Something along those lines. And it's not just the ultras, right? Ultras, for those who don't know, are extremist fans that happen when most clubs have those, particularly in Europe. But these are fans, there were probably children around, like, this was blatantly racist, and it's already a rival or derby, and of course tensions were high. It was a very chippy game, and Real Madrid ended up winning. Stuff was thrown on the pitch, but it was just really disgusting behavior aimed at a black player. So clearly, the saying no to racism and taking a knee did not end racism in European football. Shocker. Sorry for the spoiler alert. And of course, we know there's many incidents of racism abroad. So it was just really ugly, and aimed at a guy who, listen, people have many feelings about Brazilian footballers. I get it. But who, by all accounts, has worked really, really hard, has an amazing amount of talent, and plays with joy. And when you are black and you're good and you play with joy, people get really angry. So, yeah. It was just ugly to see, but I'm glad. I mean, I am a Real Madrid fan, and so it was really good to see them win, and they were winning because they got a lot of black players. I'm just going to keep it real. So that was an extra bonus. But yeah, that happened in a week where a lot of racismo happened.
Right, so do we want to go through all the things, or do we want to and then discuss, or do we want to?
Oh, yeah, let's just give people a quick rundown.
Oh, yeah. So
I also want to mention Vinny. Yeah, he mentioned Antoine Griezmann in that
he sure yeah,
I
was going to say.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Brother Griezmann, I'm so sorry. I literally saw that and I almost immediately tagged scams.
I was like, you're scamming, like, you write this.
Please come look at this.
And he almost scored in that game. I was like, oh my God, I would have been in stitches for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
By the way, Brother Griezmann is not black. Correct. But he's a brother. No.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. It was such a great statement. But, and like, agree with the entire sentiment. It was just, I can't lie.
Yeah.
I did, in fact, cackle when I saw that. I, like, literally laughed so hard.
Yeah.
So, Brother Griezmann was in the
movie. Brother Griezmann.
He also said American Blacks, and I said, me, American Black.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're going to get into that. And then also, I guess, in the MLS, there was an incident that happened. Inter Miami played. Yes.
Yep.
And allegedly someone was called the N-word on the pitch. And so both players on both teams have acknowledged that. The what's his name?
Taxi Fountas, I think is his name. I really don't follow DCU, but I think it's Fountas.
Yeah. He is the accused. He is saying he didn't say it. However, on both teams, people heard it. It was brought up. It was Phil Neville in the press conference kind of alluded to it. But then DeAndre Yedlin was like, yeah, this happened. And so, like, he put it out there on Front Street. So, yeah, basically that happened. And then,
yeah,
if we bring it stateside, if you've been on the Rock, you might not have seen it, but if you were on the Twitter streets, and even as Courtney alluded in the crossover before, at the San Diego Wabe game, when San Diego played,
I think we should take away their accent on Wabe.
Yeah, I don't think they get to be Wabe right now.
They don't get to be Wabe anymore. They're now Wave. It's not like they're now a,
well, they're a football club Wave. Now, right? They're
not. They gotta earn that Wabe. They gotta earn that Wabe back.
Okay. Yeah. San Diego Wave game when they play Angel City. As you saw, there were incidents. There was an incident that happened, and if you actually read the comment, there were incidences that happened. We're gonna get into that. I think it was a couple fans. Basically, they did not stand for the national anthem, and allegedly got attacked by a Wave fan, and that triggered a whole. There was no way to report it, so. To Twitter they came and detailed the incident, and then San Diego put out some statements that were kind of vague, so on and so forth. But we're gonna dig into that because there's more to this, because actually I was impacted during this night too. So how do we want to get into kicking off this conversation?
Oh, I also just want to give Renzola of Real Betis was wrongly identified in a photo, being confused with another black player on Real Betis.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Was it at the Michelle? What did they call Michelle?
Michelle Prince.
Everything but Michelle her name. Prince.
Yeah. Michelle Prince. It was it was that kind of vibes. All
right.
Yes.
Except this time it was not on a call. It was literally in the middle of a newspaper article.
Oh, okay.
Just wrongly identified her in a photo.
Okay.
Also, it's like last year at Race in Louisville where they had the algorithm didn't pick the right photo, so then pick Jorian and put Ebony. Yeah, that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I mean, to be fair, well, and Soccer Don is its own site, but Emily DeMella or Savannah Fox. At least they're white. Listen, they do it to white players too. One for the other.
Look, Soccer Don.
So many people tweeted at them, and that tweet it stood up all day.
Still. I was up for so long.
Is it still? Is it still up? Or did they delete it?
No, it got deleted. I checked in the morning. Oh. They confused Emily Fox and Savannah DeMello. It was very funny.
Wow. But okay. So all right.
Absolute mess. Disaster.
So how do we want to jump into this here?
I will defer to you.
What? Okay, guest. For all the racismo that has happened. How are you feeling as black people who are in media and actually covering this, these kind of things, whether at the, you know, writing articles, you know, in the TV streets, so for even for sales too, in the streets covering, like, how are we feeling in this moment in time?
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Disappointed. By the not necessarily by what happened. Because unfortunately, I kind of expected. Like racism is still very much out and about in this country.
Yes.
And everywhere around the world. I think I'm most disappointed by the reaction of some people. What is the opposite of reaction? Like the non-reaction of some people. Mm-hmm. I know that, Sky, as you told us in pre-production, that there was also some homophobia and transphobia mix within the mix of this as well. But, for example, when I tweeted that San Diego needs to put out an official statement. And then got like, I mean, people thought that I, someone tweeted at me that I condemned the entire organization. And I said, babes, you just need to put out a press release. Like literally what? I got to condemn. I got to condemn the entire organization and the fan base. And I said, if you heard the earlier episode, reading comprehension. I think for me, I'm most disappointed in the club. Mm-hmm. And how, but also with the league as well, of how there's, we have known this has been an issue, for example, for like black players of the NWSL.
Yes,
feeling unsafe in certain environments, especially certain stadiums, and how, despite everything that happened last year, there is still no mechanism for fans, for example, to be able to report negative experiences at these stadiums. Okay, because this is my thing. This is my thing. And I've had long thoughts about this because we waited a bit to record this week. And it's like, to me, you have to get it right the first time, right? Not only just in terms of putting out the statement that this happened, even if it's like, I was very much expecting a boilerplate thing of like, this thing happened. Obviously, like as a club, we don't like stand for homophobia, xenophobia, all the things. We're working with local authorities to find the person, whatever, right? I was very much expecting a boilerplate statement. The fact that it came 24 hours later, it's like, you're a modern day football club. Football clubs have had to deal with this all around the world. You know, you need to put out a statement soon. And what sticks with me is what happens. You didn't 100% get it right this first time, right? I'll give you 80%. You got it right 80%. But to me, this is very much, this is, could be the beginning of an avalanche moment. Right now we're at the snowball level. You let this persist in your stands, not saying that they will, we don't know, obviously. It seems like they, like, at least from what I'm hearing, like, are very, like, are, you know, trying to ban the person, all the things. But it's like, if you don't make large sweeping changes, what happens if it's another player on the field? What are the mechanisms in place? Does the NWSL, for example, have a thing that we've seen, for example, in UEFA through FIFA, where if a black or brown player gets abused and is racial abuse, are you going to stop the game? Are you going to issue a warning in the stadium?
Come on now.
What is going to happen? And so that's why I went so hard on that first thing of, this is the bare minimum. Something racist happens in your stands. You make a statement. You try to do something about it. And you make a statement swiftly. That's a bare minimum. What we know about the NWSL and the whiteness that persists in it. What happened? Like, I am not confident in what's going to happen when it's a black or brown player or a black or brown staff member, coach. Even someone who works for your organization, if someone does not like something that they're doing, and then they say something extremely racist to them, and it could be on your team or the opposite team, what happens then?
Right.
And so that's why I'm disappointed, because it's like, if you can't get the bare minimum right, what's going to happen when something, when it involves a player, a staff member, someone else? Mm-hmm. Not saying that it should happen to fans either, but we've seen, unfortunately, like, teams, for example, react more swiftly when it's their coach or one of their players or something like that. But it's like, if you can't get the bare minimum right, what's going to happen if this persists, which, knowing racism, it will. Mm-hmm. And then it start, and then it continues snowballing.
Right.
Guest Andre,
yes. Do you have any opinions?
I got a few. I think my primary one is just like, I think it's very important for women's soccer clubs, especially with the popularity in the sport, the growth of the sport, all of that, to be determined to not just copy-paste men's sports. There are things you can do to make sure the culture of your team, the culture of your fan base is protected. And I see far too much copy-paste. And it's like all of this stuff is predictable. When you copy-paste, we talked about it before we recorded, like, you know, I heard y'all say that, like, that San Diego game felt like an NFL game, and that's what you get when you, yeah, that's what you get when you copy-paste. If you're going to, and I said something off the back of, quote-tweeted something that Kaya McCullough said as well, talking about, you know, conversations and making sure you're not, you know, alienating fans. And I think the biggest thing is, if you want your environment to be safe, then you do not make hate comfortable within your space. If you make hate comfortable in your space, they're going to feel at home, and then hate is going to be there, and it is going to spread, because that is what hate does. So my frustration is that you do all the same things. You have the military flyovers, you pander to the military, you pander to white supremacy, strong tenets of white supremacy and nationalism, and then those people feel comfortable. They feel like this environment is theirs, and this is what they do. I had I even hate that I feel like I need to say this shit, but I always do when people think, come at me about hating the military, which I do. Yes, I do. If you ask other people around the world, the U.S. military is one of the biggest terrorist organizations on the planet. Just a fact. It is bad.
Well, come on now.
A lot of things were bad that the U.S. military has done around the world. So if you're outside of your American perspective and you look at through other people's eyes, you will see this. But I still I also think, though, that you can have military, you know, discounts. Plenty of places have that. You can honor the military in ways that you do that are not so overt. Giant flags, you know, the militarized ceremonies before games, flyovers, things like that. You can say, hey, you get 10% off this, you get 20% off whatever. You know, you can do that. That still honors military and whatever sacrifice that's going on. But you do not need to pander, because when you pander, you welcome shit like this. And to me, that's where it all starts. And I want to see more thought about these things. I won't even say more thought about these things, because I don't think that I straight up don't think white people get it. So I think you need to have more people that can explain it to a way, and actually with power to make changes, to do things, because I don't think they're going to do it on their own. And that's my thing. I think there needs to be more people to be able to have these conversations and say, hey, did you ever think that this could be a reason why we have these incidents? Do you think that this might, we bill ourselves, you know, we do the Pride Month, we do everything, but when you invite hate and bigotry, you make it welcome when you do some of this other stuff. And it's not specifically only about the military, but that's a big chunk of it, because as we know, some of us was there. In the aftermath of 9/11, this country went crazy, and a big tool that they used was sports. That is why we do so much of the anthem stuff. That's why we do so much. It was not like this before 9/11.
Yep.
And we do so much of this strictly because of that. This is not something that we used to do in the 40s, 50s, 30s. Well, we did a little bit in the 40s because of World Wars. But this is not something that was extra common. It's something that started to happen, right, and sports was used as this tool. And if we're going to stop this, especially women's sports, we need to stop. We just need to stop straight up, because you're welcoming some people who are going to be awful. And like Courtney said, not just the fans. You're going to start getting this towards the athletes, toward coaches, towards everybody. This is just the start of it. And if you don't protect people and if you're not aware of it, it's just going to get worse.
All right, so let's talk about this.
Wait, so are you going first?
I'm going to go first, yeah. So because stuff happened. So we actually went to the game, and we debated, were we going to talk about this? But we transparent podcast. So, and again, as Andre said, white people not going to get it until they understand the experience. So we went down, we drove down, me, Sylves, my roommate, her friend. We're all people. We are two black people, me and Sylves. Roommate's Peruvian. Her friend is Asian American. And so we went down, and, you know, we had already felt a vibe. And so let's be clear. for white people, you didn't realize San Diego has a history of being not only a conservative city that is diverse, but also having a history of racism, super toxicity, mm-hmm. white supremacy. And California is like this if you look at the history, even in mm-hmm. Los Angeles.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
You have to be aware of this history because this influences what happens. And so I even had my qualms about it because you're playing effectively in San Diego State's stadium. It's not a soccer stadium like Angel City is playing in the bank. It is an actual American football stadium for a college that they're partnering with. They're playing the games of Snapdragon. So I had my concerns. When we got there, I mean, I'm super empathic. So I already feel pickup energies. This is hard to explain to people. But it gave a vibe that I was like, am I tripping? But it had a vibe of, how do I describe it? I grew up in the deep south of some toxic hate. And so I was like, I'm tripping, maybe I'm projecting, whatever. Felt kind of weird, whatever. You know, we went through the press box. We parked in the press parking lot. And so, you know, for all our most of experience, we interacted with black employees who work for the stadium and then the San Diego Wave staff in the press box. And then we were taken down. But even then, you know, it was a vibe about the stadium, particularly as we sat in the press box. It didn't feel like a soccer game. It felt like an American football game. And so, again, because of the history of said city, because we were sitting there, you know, I already had my concerns because you could see in the press box there was behaviors that were replicating American football. I mean, to be quite frank, it felt like a white soccer game for white people in a American football stadium for white people. And so I was like, this could be problematic given the diversity I was coming from Angel City, given the diversity that was coming to this game, whoever you're trying to pack out, and to get to 32,000. You gotta, how are you doing that? Like, this could be interesting given, like, all the stark militarism. And so particularly as they were doing the flyovers and stuff, people were standing up. I was like, I hope people are safe, you know? Because you don't have a feeling. Anyway, long story short, post-game, there's an incident that happened to me. So I look how I look. I'm a black woman, more masculine in appearance, have dreads. In that particular moment, I had on a Shea Butter shirt. I look fly. Had Shea Butter shirt, had the Gotham covers of a future merch, but it also had on a LA fitted hat. Not Dodgers for LA, not Dodgers. But then I had on some Jordans, had on some jeans. Actually, one of the black stadium employees commented, like, hey, can I get them Jordans? So I look fire, and I had all my press credentials and stuff. So after our long press conference, people were escorted upstairs, but Sills had to go to the bathroom. And so waiting on Sills to go, we were in an area that it wasn't clear whatever it was. There was mostly black employees in the area, but there was one white dude. So I was waiting on Sills. I was standing by the bathroom, and basically I got approached by a guy. And he, like, cut me off. It wasn't like a, you know, it was like he cut me off to prevent me from going to the bathroom area or going to the other side. And I didn't get anything said to me. And I was kind of taken aback. And the first thing flashed in my head is I was like, do you not think I'm a woman? Because that's a whole nother level of stuff. And so I was like, hey, what's good? What's going on? I got these credentials, whatever. He was like, these credentials weren't worked down here. And then after that, I was like really uncomfortable because he kept getting in my space, like coming closer and closer. So then I was like, yo, I'm just standing here. I'm waiting on Sills. Like, I don't know. Like, what's going on? So, yo, can I just go to the bathroom? And that's when he goes, oh, you could go. Why you did just say that? And it's like, what the heck? Because I was taken aback because I was watching him talk previously out the corner of my eye. I saw him talking to white people, letting them come back and forth. They didn't have anything on. So I was like, this can't be that serious. And then, you know, he was like, oh, well, you could have just gone. Why you didn't say all that? You could have just walked in, girl. So that's when I knew. I was like, okay, I just got profiled, whatever. But I felt really uneasy the whole time. And I was at a point where I was like, we just need to leave. Went to the bathroom. We left. We exited the stadium. And I will note this too. My roommate and her friend had been blowing up my phone because they were like, what's taking us so long? Because Aiden feels safe in the press parking lot. Because of what we ended up finding out later of stuff that happened during the game to Angel City fans in particular. Where they didn't feel safe. So there was not just one incident. There were multiple incidences. I'm in a supporter group. So, you know, I've heard all kind of crazy stuff that's happened. There was stuff that happened even outside of the stadium. And a lot of it came back to people not being prepared for the reality that you're in San Diego in a toxic space where you have a space of possibility of hostility, white supremacy, toxicness that you didn't prepare for to try to break a record, and effectively set it up to where, you know, all kinds of incidences happen. So yeah, I got profiled, but other crazy stuff happened to people. That for the protection of some of the stuff I've said, heard, I won't put that out there. But it was like trippy because it felt uneasy. Like, that was the first time I really didn't feel safe in a stadium. And it was kind of triggering because I'm from the deep south, so I've almost been killed because of the color of my skin, for real. So the vibes I was feeling is something I haven't felt that much in California ever. But it was tripped out because a lot of it came back to the not understanding of how you needed to set up and keep the space safe. Now, I will say we, as a podcast, ended up talking the San Diego Wave, because I did report what happened. And to me, and we had a conversation about the steps they're going to take, and you will see some of that stuff probably, I don't know, by the time this episode drops, but yeah, you'll hear some of the stuff and plans. And they kind of explain why their stuff was kind of generic. However, I mean, yo, that's not something, like, I was legit concerned about what's going to happen when North Carolina Courage plays them in the last game. You know, all the diversity that is going to potentially come to the game. San Diego is not, for who plays soccer, is not white. It's mostly people of color. And so for the Brazilian population, the Mexican population, the black people, you know, how are you going to keep people safe? You know, when me as a media member wasn't necessarily safe, you know, other people weren't feeling safe in the stadium. What are you going to do to make sure people are safe in this last game in particular so you don't have a repeat incident? All right, you guys, Seals.
I mean, that's pretty profound. And I thank you for sharing that out. I mean, obviously I knew what had happened. Okay. We have a white supremacy problem in the NWSL. And one of the very real functions of white supremacy is using niceness and caring about appearance and what other white people think.
Ooh.
And as Commissioner Berman, who was there, by the way. that's a different conversation for a different day. as she's made her listening tour rounds, which, again, good. You should be doing that. And I've hopped on those media calls. I've heard a lot of talk about, and rightfully so, the ban on abortions. And what is the NWSL doing? And I've heard a lot of conversation around living our values and how investigating that, being concerned about having teams in states or having expansion teams in states, where that ban is going to hold and how do we protect our players. What I never hear as a value is ending white supremacy in this sport or ending racism in this sport. Racism is never put on the same plane or the same plateau as all the other values you espouse. And I need you to know, for the very few of us who are black or not white in these spaces, because there aren't a lot of us, we know, we feel it. We know it doesn't matter quite as much. And again, all the other values you have still affect us disproportionately. Abortion bans, healthcare, more black childbearing people die in healthcare than their white counterparts. There are infinite studies on this. Like, I'm not telling you anything you can't find typing in three words in Google. All right, UVA did a, shout out to your alma mater, did a whole study, what, like 6 or 7 years ago about how literally doctors don't think black people feel pain. I need you all to hear that. They think we don't feel pain. Even when we say we're in pain. I felt it when I've gone to get my nails done. I felt it at the dentist. They don't think I hurt as much. And I'm not even dark skinned. It's way worse when colorism comes into it. Ableism comes into it. Sexuality, gender identity, all of these other things. Also, Wosa, I need you to hear me. Systemic failings and calling them out is not an affront to your individual existence.
Oh.
And it doesn't mean we hate your favorite player or coach or team. Of course there's racism everywhere. Of course every NWSL city has racism. San Diego, it's your turn this week. We're the accountability falls on you this week. And that's a pretty blatant case of racism, right? I call it loud racism, right? And my other fear is that you all only think that kind of racism or xenophobia is racism or xenophobia. And we need to tell you about all the other little stuff that's not so little in the grand scheme of things. You don't hear it because it doesn't affect you. And that's the real crux of this. You don't hold racism in the same regard because for the vast majority of you, racism is never going to harm you. Let me rephrase that. It's going to harm you, but you benefit from it so much, it doesn't matter.
Okay now, Reverend.
And I know y'all can't stand me. I know y'all quote tweet me. I see it on Tumblr. I know. I don't care. Be better. You know how to not be racist. You know how to not be racist. Because you certainly know how not to be sexist. You certainly know how not to be homophobic or transphobic. You could do better on ableism, but in theory, yes. You know how not to be ableist. You know. Because Lord knows plenty of you tell us how smart you are all the time. And so I hear you, Andre. I do think we need to teach people how these things play out. But some of you know exactly what you're doing.
Well.
And our black bodies are worth trampling over to get what you want. It's not safe for people. Courtney is right. If you don't nip it in the bud, it's going to escalate. Selling out stadiums, having celebrities on your TV screen, famous investors, the growth, the money, doesn't mean anything. Soccer in the United States has a white supremacy problem. Mm-hmm. And until you deal with that, until you choose to not want to be that anymore, and it sucks and it's hard and it requires accountability and apologizing and messing up and trying again, it's the work. You all come up with a million excuses of what it could be when you could just be doing the work.
Well.
We lose years of progress because you won't call the thing the thing.
Or when we call the thing, they say, are you sure?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure. I've been black for 38 years. How long have you been black? You don't get to tell me how to be black.
Right.
Or you don't get to tell me what racism is.
Right. Or how to explain or how I vocalize that you are being racist.
You don't get to tell us how to protest. You don't get to tell us how to march. You don't get to tell us how to fight for our fucking survival.
Right.
My people are dying.
Come on now.
Whether with a bullet or by 1,000 paper cuts. They are dying. And I don't have time to wait for you.
Mm-hmm.
The black players in this league don't have time to wait for you. This mess is hurting our babies. It's getting into our youth leagues. I'm calling my own team out on this, who hasn't responded about that article,
mm-hmm.
about that young black woman in our academy. Whatever it is or isn't, something went down. And it can't be that. That's a child.
Right.
These are our children. And I have no doubt that San Diego has Jaden Shaw's best interest in mind. But that's a 17-year-old. That's still a child. And let me tell you something right the fuck now. If something pops off and something happens to her, I'm spraying the chopper. And for every young black player in this league, just because they're over 18 doesn't mean they're not young.
Yeah, that's true.
The clip can be empty. Like, at this point, I don't care. I don't trust you all with our children.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust you with me. Do you want to be better or do you want access? Do you want whatever fame you think this board is going to get you? What Woo! Do you want to be? You don't get to say you're better than Broso when you act like this.
Real shit.
You don't get to peddle in racism and say you're better and that you have the moral high ground. You do not. Massa and Massa's wife are exactly the same type of racist. They just go about it differently.
Usually Massa's wife was worse.
Was worse, if you really want to keep it above. There's a lot of Miss Midleys in this world. If you don't know what that is and you haven't read The Color Purple, that's on you.
That part.
sorry to get, like, super deep, but, like, enough. It's the racism. And you know what's tied to that? The sexism, the homophobia, the transphobia, the ableism, the colorism, the featureism, all of it's tied to that because this is the United States and it's in the soil and it's in the air. A whole lot of them trees have had bodies hanging from it in this country.
Yep.
My grandparents fled the South. All four of my grandparents fled the South. And just like our Jewish ancestors can't talk about what happened at the Holocaust, they can't talk about why they fled. But you know why they fled.
Yeah.
The Jim Crow South. And you know who else knows it? The black players in this league.
Yep.
Do not be deceived. They know exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That collective is organic because y'all wouldn't listen. The people they have to step on the pitch with every day wouldn't listen. And then they wouldn't listen to the white players like the Andy Sullivans and the Becky Sovereigns who trap. Yep. Y'all don't even listen to each other. Y'all won't protect your own kids. Didn't another story about Toledo's coach in the youth system come out today? Y'all don't like your own children. And it all comes back to white supremacy. And we're all victims. It doesn't make you better either. It just makes you privileged. And nobody wants to give up their privilege. I don't want to give up my privilege in ways in the places that I have it. But you either want the sport to be better or you're cool with white supremacy. You can't have it both ways.
Come on now.
You cannot have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my charge to the league. I added Jessica Berman. I don't hide from anybody. And y'all all know me because there ain't that many black people in NWSL covering the sport. So you can't pretend like you don't know. I know you know me. I know when you see me in these pressers, you know who I am. And lastly, while white supremacy thrives under white people, white supremacy does not need white people to carry it out.
Oh, come on now!
Everybody peddling in white supremacy ain't white.
True story.
True.
I need y'all to know that I know that too.
All right. That's actually good reflect, because I don't want this to be, I don't want San Diego to think we just talk about San Diego.
No, and you mentioned some of what they're doing, and obviously it's their statement to put out, but we were told these are the steps we're taking, and I applaud them for it. I really do.
But I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
But see, because in Los Angeles it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
I repeatedly say this.
And Los Seattle, Angeles is the New York.
Orlando. Los Angeles is one of the racist cities I've ever lived in my life. Because y'all think white supremacy, you know, racism is rolling up in a Ku Klux Klan hood. So I tell you I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, where the KKK is in Stone Mountain. Nah, baby. Racism is all afoot. The anti-blackness in Los Angeles is insane. And so, like, I say this as, cool, you have a stadium that's welcoming, but you still don't have black people actively engaged in supporter culture, because for so long, soccer in itself is bashed in white supremacy, and the white supremacy in the capacity of Los Angeles is so bad. Why do black people feel soccer's for them? So you can't just make the stadium safe, you gotta make it welcoming. So, like, everybody in every city has to understand, what does white supremacy play out in your city? How has impacted the black people? And then how has that white supremacy impacted the soccer and how black people interact to be able to bring the cultures in? You got to do the fucking work to be able to have the strategies to be able to counteract stuff. But are you going to go do it? Because, I mean...
Go ahead, what? Sorry.
What'd you say?
Go ahead and finish your statement.
But all that to say is, like, you gotta have, you'd have to do the work and have an understanding, be willing to talk to and connect to communities, be able to, you know, you have to care about the communities your stadiums are sitting in. If you are in South Central, you know, you got to talk to the South Centrals. If you're in the middle of the hood, you know, if you were like in Atlanta, you middle of the hood, you got to reach out to the Black communities around the areas you're in the hood at. Even in the other portion of Los Angeles, the LA Galaxy is in Carson, which is brown and Black area. Like, you have to reach out to these people and have active conversations to learn, to figure out what you can and can't do. You aren't the NFL. And even the NFL is Black now. Wasn't before, but it's still racist as hell. You can't use that model because it only works here because we are the only country that plays American football. Nobody else does it. So we have a monopoly on that. Soccer is global. So you have to care. You have to have the other diversity to be able to help your league be worth a damn. Because as you see, no sport in this country ever is more powerful or reaches any kind of monetary value until everybody can have access. So white supremacy ain't getting you nowhere but being broke. You know what I mean?
You said that. I was going to posit this question to Woso at large. And I say it on the statement. This sport is white by design.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to Woso, do you want to be inclusive because you want us to be better as a collective Woso body? Or do you want to be inclusive because you think it's going to get you to the money?
Mm-hmm.
Because the latter's not going to actually change anything. But if you do it because it's what we should be doing and it makes everybody better, and it makes our talent pool deeper, and it makes our tactics more diverse, all of that stuff. Never mind being staff, front office, all of this other stuff. The money will come. But, and we could talk about how supremacy and capitalism are spouses.
Well, that's another part
show for another day. But why do you want to be inclusive? And what does inclusion mean? And just as entrenched as white supremacy is how hard you're going to have to fight against it. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to mess up. You're going to have to be accountable. You're going to have to go again. What do you think work is?
Yep.
Y'all want to do everything but the work. You won't read a book. You won't read Letters to Birmingham Jail, and it's like 3 pages.
Damn, that's true.
Some of y'all, I just said that and don't even know who wrote a letter from Birmingham Jail. But you quote them every January.
But they know one, at least one quote.
They quote. Uh-huh.
They know that one.
They quote.
Like, I'm tired. And yet I don't get to rest. Mm-hmm. If you're tired of me talking about racism, I'm tired of dealing with racism. And that's way worse. I have spent times in meetings fielding messages from people who also experienced things at San Diego that were racist or transphobic or whatever else. I have spent a considerable amount of my time this week dealing with the fallout from this thing. That's exhausting. While y'all don't have to deal with it. And yet we still do the work. Players deal with that and they still ball. That's how I know Black players are good.
True.
Because they got to share a pitch with somebody who doesn't hear them when they say the cops are killing us. Who can't hear them. Who won't have their back for real off that pitch. And they got to suck it up, kiki, and kick a ball to them. That's how I know.
And then you got some people who will use that against us, right? When we bring up an issue, they'll be like, oh, it looks like they just high-fived after a goal or something. Looks like there's no issues. And I'm like, get out of my face with that bullshit. Do y'all understand that we've been Black in this country since we was born? Come on, man. Like,
what you code switch.
Right? Like, we got to deal with white people every day in life. You think that none of the people we deal with every day aren't racist?
Right.
You think we don't know how to exist in a white space? Like, yeah. You're not going to, like, yes, we learn this. We know how to operate in these spaces. And when we see it and when we see others, because we're like, ooh, that's familiar, or we know what that is, some people be like, oh, you know, somebody said they, you know, that's one of their favorite teammates, so that can't be true. Out of my face. Out of my face with that.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that like really bothers me when I think about it, like from a macro type of view, is there has been a lot of work, specific work done by real people, grassroots work, to be able to curate these communities around sport, around soccer, to be safe, to be inclusive. The fucking audacity for a team and a club to come in and trample that and introduce these hateful ass people to people who have done a hell of a lot of work over years and years and years before some people even got there or even had the money to consider to invest in a team or whatever. Whoever's making all these decisions, you come in and you put these people at risk because you don't understand the community. You don't understand the building. You don't understand the work. If you understood it, you would want to talk to these people and see how they did it, to try to make sure that you're protecting, you're honoring what they've done, what they've already done, and you're also honoring the space that they've created because it's been there, it existed without you. And that's the other, like, that's the audacity to me that it's just like, it's annoying because it is just chasing dollars. And I understand San Diego wanted to end it, and again, understood, not gonna call out San Diego exclusively, but I do think that like, we see so many tweets and so many, you know, reports of like, big numbers in women's soccer. And it's like, yes, that is absolutely the growth that we want. We want to see that. But you also have to do the work. And you're just copying and pasting, and you're putting a lot of people at risk. It's basically introducing harmful people to in spaces that people have carefully curated over the years. And that is rude as shit to do. And I want people to start thinking about that and understand that that is not something that you should be doing. When you have that, that is a unique thing. That's a unique space, and you need to honor it. And, you know, the sport's gonna grow. It's grown to this point, right? Like, that's the other thing. People always act like the way you chase money is by, you know, pandering to white people. Black people got money too. You know, like, yeah, generational wealth is a problem, right? So, like, yeah, we have those issues, but When we up with something, like, and we have the ability to have any sort of access, or we feel like a space is ours, we're there. We do it. We'll spend our money. We like sports. We've done that, right? Like, we've shown that we can be a market that upholds something. And that's black, brown, basically anybody non-white. And we've seen that. But people always want to pander to white people and think that if you want to make the most money, then you have to welcome all white people, and whenever they say white people, we see the voting numbers. We know that means a lot of conservative ass, hateful ass, bigoted ass people. And that's when you have your problems. It's like the most predictable thing when you're going to create an environment that also welcomes those people. Like I said, you can't make hate comfortable and then act surprised when hate shows up.
Yep.
And also, no one goes harder in the world than non-white people for football.
Facts.
Literally, yes. No one goes harder. Like, sometimes I don't want to point, like, this is just, like, a stupid business decision if you want to, like, not fail as an entity, but it's also, like, you're doing all this to pander to white people when it's, like, you could so easily just, like, make inclusive spaces and make spaces welcoming for black and brown people, and they will come back in droves. And you can also see it, like, for example, black women in hair care.
Right.
Like, there are so many examples.
Like, honestly, so many, and many of them have made money. And I guess this is my last point, because again, I don't want everybody to think it's one team. It's not. And I want to say this. Where we were sitting in the presser, we could see the fans standing, waiting for the players to come. Outside of the big names, and we had Miles Morgan and Abby Dahlkemper in a press conference, right? That's who we're waiting on. And it was a very good presser, by the way. I think it was well done. But I could see Jaden Shaw outside the window, taking her time with every single fan. I have no doubt that the vast majority of Wave fans adore her. She gets some of the loudest applause. She's having an amazing first three games with the team. She scored the first goal ever in Snapdragon Stadium history. And I don't doubt for one second that that club, however they got her, is doing what they can to the best of their ability to make sure she is good as a young player, an under 18 player. And I trust Casey Stoney. I really do. But again, I'll posit this last thing to Wosa. How do you treat the black and brown people who can do nothing for you?
Ooh. Come on now.
Sleep on that. Do you have friends? Or are they just your colleagues? Are they really your friends, or are they just black and brown people that you know? But at the end of the day, how do you treat black and brown people who can't do anything for you, who can't score a goal, who can't get you access? How are you treating those people? Because that's the answer to whether you got some work to do or not. That's all I got.
All right. Anything else? You got any more comments? Deaconess Courtney?
No, I just want people to realize, because I feel like so often in this country, like, people think of racism and they just associate it with the South. And it's like, I'm literally born and raised in New Jersey. I went to school in Charlottesville, Virginia. I went to literally that Unite the Right rally happened right before my fourth year at the University of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I have still experienced the most racist shit in my entire life in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, no call. I've never been called a slur before until I was literally here one summer, and I literally just, like, looked in one person's direction, and then they just called me a coon.
Jesus.
Wow.
Jesus. They took it back, too. Like, they didn't even go, like, New Age. They were like...
No. Like, I literally... person shouting, me being a little bit naive, just looked in a direction. Like, these problems exist in all of the spaces in this country. And it honestly... And, like... I, for example, at the last Gotham game, literally went, I walked to go get some french fries, and I saw so many, it's probably the largest concentration of black and brown friends I have, like, personally seen, like, at a game. Like, there were so many black and brown people, and it, like, gave me so much joy, but also at the same time, could I not disconnect that when Mandy Freeman committed that foul, people, I feel like, went harder because she's black.
Mm.
Like, I cannot disconnect those two thoughts in my head, and I'd, like...
Mm.
We've seen some terrible-ass fouls in this league. Mm-hmm. Like, could break a person's leg in this league? Mm-hmm. Thinking that foul, for example, on Caroline. Challenge Cup final. I personally did not see so many people going as hard, at least on my timelines. Maybe it's because I cover Gotham, so I, like, see that a bit more, but it's just, like, it's something that you kind of just have to reckon with every day, and I just want to make it very clear that this is not, like, it literally exists in all places, and places you think are so, you know, so, so liberal.
No.
Like, New Jersey, New York, always blue, literally, never not blue, never even, not even close to purple. Still exists.
Nope.
Still pervasive.
Los Angeles, still in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the whole 100% still exists.
like, it,
truly,
it just...
I lived there for 7 years. I got thoughts, but yeah.
Like, it truly persists everywhere, and it's not even a, what are you doing to not be racist, it's what are you doing to be anti-racist.
Yes.
There you go. That's the question.
And the micro... In the paper cuts, she said paper cuts, she's talking about the microaggressions. Those matter, too?
Yeah.
I literally majored
the,
in...
The word microaggression is bullshit.
Yeah.
They're not micro.
They're macro, but little bitty pieces. Right. I literally majored in audio software engineering design, and I don't do it because of the microaggressions. And so that I experienced for my 10 years of school and my 3 degrees. So they impact you no matter how strong you are, and y'all need to recognize that shit. But anywho, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to dive quickly into the NWSL and our superlatives.
Yo, what's up? It's Elle from the 2 Cents SC Show. Join Amobi and I each week as we talk with individuals from around the soccer world, learning about their stories and getting their unfiltered thoughts and opinions. You can catch all episodes on the 2 Cents SC YouTube channel or wherever you listen to podcasts. Tap in.
Shh.
Welcome! And we're back in the streets. So, all right, so we gonna talk our favorite takeaways briefly
from the chaos
of the NWSL, the WSL, the Anywhere SL. Everybody give your takes. So I guess we can start with who we're gonna go. We could go with Andre. We could go with Courtney. Who wants to go first? Do y'all have an idea?
Well, two things that delighted me this week was Midge nutmegging Sophia Huerta twice.
She did it.
Happened the first time.
Yeah.
And I said she went for it the second time. I'm sorry. She was just.
No, it's fine.
When Midge had a lot of fun. When you learn after that she's been playing with literally playing through pain since May, and for the first time she feels healthy, you also. I can't remember who I was talking to about this. But it's like, you know when you play your friends in footy and like you go even harder on them because you want to embarrass them? It felt like that. Yeah. And it was just like vibes are literally so bad at Gotham. Like the fact that Midge got two nutmegs, it was just some hot fire. It was just some hot fire. Like the double nut, like she went for it twice. It was deeply disrespectful. But that's probably my most favorite moment of the week. Because also, how often do we see a player get nutmegged twice and also by the same player? It's just like a rarity.
Get cooked!
I respect it. I believe deep down Sophia did too after we won that.
I literally asked her about it and she goes, oh, it's Sophia, we go so hard at each other. And I said, yeah, you purposely. It's like when she did that spin on Alana Cook. I said, you did that purposefully because it's Alana and y'all are friends. You're going extra hard on your friends.
Yes, she is.
And that's why we love her.
Yes.
She takes no prisoners.
It doesn't matter, and that's how it should be.
Did you have a second one?
Yeah, you did say two.
The two nutmegs.
Okay, it was the two nutmegs.
Mine was AD Franchise performance. Just outrageous. Outrageous. Mm. Just she's had a hell of a year. I don't know what trophy she's going to be holding at the end of it, but it better be something, damn it, because she has been outrageous this season. In that game against Portland, she was, I mean, if you looked at their XG, I think they had close to like 3. And I'll say this. I like a lot of goalkeepers in this league, and I think just about any other goalkeeper gets at least 2 put on them in that situation. At least 2. Most 3, most 4. But she was so good in that game. Like, the highlights are wild. All those saves coming in one game was just wild.
That double save where it hit off her foot and then she somehow palms the ball down.
Yeah.
She's a superhuman.
So good.
Absolutely. Also,
the baby party.
Oh, my God. The baby.
Oh, my God. I almost
They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. All these babies popping up and...
I can't.
Beviana's baby in the press conference.
Also,
I didn't ask her a single question. No. I was just focused on the baby. I didn't ask
You gotta
a
find
single
the joy
question.
Where you can get it, man. Yeah. Oh, man. That was a good shout. And then yesterday, like, there's a way Marcel smiles and it's only at his mom. And I can't. Like, I can't.
Marcel's
he lights
mom.
Up. He lights up when he sees his mom. And I can't. He's so good. He's like his little rolls and he's so chonky. I just love a chonky baby.
Mama.
I know. They probably still smell good. This is before like their poop starts to smell for real.
Okay, alright. Okay, give me your moment.
I love babies. Sorry. For me,
Lose and I are really the same person.
We are. For me, I mean, man, there were a few Pray for Katie Lund. She passed away yesterday.
Lord.
God. I was like, oh no, Sophia, please.
Well, she went to the afterlife. Yeah, that's true.
I just thoroughly enjoy, except when it's my name, what Sophia Smith does to people.
Bubble braid.
Yeah.
Young bubble braid.
Assassin. Babyface assassin. And also, listen, I'm going to be biased sometimes. I am thoroughly enjoying this run that Simone Charlie has been on. She's genuinely a good person. Hello to Mr. and Mrs. Charlie who listen to the show.
Oh my
Yeah, they listen to the show. But yeah, she's just been great, and she got what ended up being the game winner yesterday, and honestly, one of the best headers of the ball.
Yes.
In the game, and the fadeaway header, which is still ridiculous. So, I'm really happy when good things happen to good people and good players, and so.
And she scored last week too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And also the Wakanda celebration. Y'all didn't see it. I don't know if y'all saw it. I hope y'all saw it on TV screen. Yeah,
TV. It no, did TV not. Didn't
I'm
get
so
it.
I'm so mad at this.
But however, TV we got not. It, though.
That actually TV goes to our last say, conversation we were having, too, by the way. Like, if you know what to look for, if you mm-hmm. know how to understand, like, your product and, like, your players, that's something that you definitely want to put on TV, okay? Like, that's part of the whole thing.
Don't get me started with that.
In a week that the number one movie in America is Woman King, I would have put it on there. For two players who look like those characters. Okay, shut up.
But yeah, they did the, and we talked, and Simone in the press conference said they did not plan it. Jasmine did it, so they did it.
Oh, that's dope.
However, I believe somebody a part of 2 Cents got it. So, hopefully we'll see.
Yeah, I want to see.
Hopefully.
Allegedly.
Hopefully.
And so, I guess my favorite thing, it's 2 things. I love the chaos that happened in the WSL. All these teams losing? It was a beautiful thing.
Says the Man United fan.
Shouldn't have let you go.
I am not a Man United. I'm not a Man United fan. My other... wait, why are you going to mute me? I don't acknowledge what happened. The mess
a non-Man United fan would not be excited about this.
Anyway, the Liga Meki Feminil, them playing in a in the tropical storm, that's why that goal happened. Although she slipped and slid before the storm happened. But that's another story. Just give me goalkeeper. But the ball in this... The phenomenal goals in the Liga Meki Feminil, you know, it's been a treat to watch these audacities get launched off the feet. And then I guess my last one would be the Beanie says she wants to go to the playoffs. If you two like beaches, holla at me.
Lord.
Oh my God.
And on that note, it is that time. What time is it? Okay, I got the time frame. It is about that time, y'all, for our superlatives. And we got our special guest joining us this week. Are y'all excited for these superlatives? Because we don't know what we're going to see. It was match 18th day. Match day 18 in the NWSL. Match 2 in the D1, or Kima. 2 in the all the divisions. It was match day 2. Anyway, so first one. Our Shea Butter Bomb is going to go to the Ebony Salmon against the Chicago Red Stars.
Yeah,
that was a good goal.
And for y'all listening, Shea Butter Bomb is a goal.
Is Ebony Salmon good?
A little bit.
My God, talk about fumbling. Right. Bad.
That man has not had a single good take ever.
Nope.
Never in life.
I'm still trying to figure out what system exists that she can fit into, because I've watched them play and there's no system.
Right. Is she scoring more goals than them? Shit.
And...
She
scored more goals than teams.
Yes,
teams.
True.
It's also funny that he used, like, once she was gone, he started using Kristen Davis to, like, run in behind and do the stuff that she could do better. And I was like, what? You said this didn't fit.
You could have had her.
Correct. That is always the thing.
The all-time assist leader in the league.
Who had such a good partnership with Lynn Williams, and they ran the league with that. You could have had that. You could have hit copy paste with Ebony Sanders.
Won several championships that way. Yep.
All right. So a Shea Butter Boom. That was to Drew Spence.
Uh oh.
For the Spurs.
I don't want to talk about it.
Let's move on.
Oh, you can't be doing that. Y'all don't celebrate her boom. That's a booming goal.
Oh, Courtney asked, does she like pork rolls? Is what's happening.
Does she like
No, it's not pork roll, it's tail ham.
Okay. Sorry.
It's tail ham. I have strong
opinions.
That is one of my. Look, I have two deeply strong opinions in the world. One of them is that it's Taylor Ham. The inventor literally called it, same as Edward Taylor, called it Taylor Ham. Just saying. My other very strong opinion is that the best piece of chicken, like, out of the pieces of chicken you can eat is always the thigh. Those are the two.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. True. That's the correct answer. That's true.
Those are my two very strong food opinions.
Noted.
But also, we are in North Jersey.
All right. Okay.
Taylor Ham.
Okay, okay, so that
you also
that,
can't get
wow.
Taylor Ham outside of New Jersey. I've tried.
That's very true.
They're like, huh? And I show them photo and they're like, I asked one time in Virginia and they said, do you want country ham on a bagel?
Yeah, it's Virginia ham in Virginia.
I said, no. I want Taylor Ham. Like, we don't know what that is. Anyway.
All right. Wow. And so, the shea butter bomba cow, is that right?
Bomba cow, yeah. Bomba cow.
Oh, is this another? No, that's not a sore subject.
Brazilian. Wait. Yeah.
How do you say her name?
Jace?
Say her name. Say her name.
Jace?
Yes.
Isn't that
sounds
right?
It's not
Gaysay? Okay.
Gaysay
Ferreira.
George will correct us later. Yeah.
I thought it was Gaysay Ferreira.
The Primera right. Division scored a goal. That's for a Portuguese Brazilian player. Shea Butter Baby. Nobody had a debut goal, I don't think. Shea Butter Dunk, which is a. Ooh. What
a
is
header,
a Shea
right?
Butter
or
Dunk?
It's
a close range dunk. I don't know what is that. No. It's a, I don't know what it is. Bunny Shaw versus Anson Villa.
I think it's a close-up goal or something like that.
I guess so.
Also that, is Bunny Shaw good?
Better than Garrett Taylor.
Right. Oof. That dude.
Oof, that whole situation is.
Does Oof. Bunny like bodegas? Now I'm fully getting on the sky train. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
Does she like,
money
does like, she like chili? Does she
beaches.
Like chili bowls?
No,
I don't know.
Yeah,
no,
no,
like
I was
she
trying
like
to think of something
does
about
like
DC. She, yeah, Ben's chili bowl was good.
Nah, absolutely not. Does she like the?
Do you like monuments?
Oh, do you like museums?
Oh. Oh shit! Wait, do you like brunch? There you go. All right.
Oh yeah. You...
Shea butter dunk. Oh my bad.
She
Shea
like
butter baked.
On 495 in traffic.
Lord, so Shea Butter Banks is Simone Charlie for yes. her header. Shea Butter Brace
oh, this
is
one I definitely don't want to fucking talk about. Sorry,
Grace. Gayara. Oh wait, is she supposed to? She's supposed to come to? Was she supposed to come to
our
situation?
Enough.
I think she's doing good at the PSG.
She wanted
anyway,
to come.
Shea
no
Butter
one's
doing
good. Come.
Shea Butter hat trick. Mallory Pugh, and she had two goals. One since is against the Kansas City situation. And Jaden Shaw.
I love that you call team. You call team situation.
Like, situation.
Okay, it is a situation. Because they might cause chaos. Jaden Shaw, because she scored three goals, including the goal. She should get a dance, too. Well, all the black players who were dancing. Shout out,
her
Vinny.
Celebration was very was. Good, by the way.
And they didn't even capture that correctly on TV.
They
I'm
did,
so
and
upset.
The
anyway.
Photo that San Diego posted after that was of three white players doing it and not her, so. Shout out to y'all for that.
That's a whole nother discussion. Yep. Y'all got to do better. Working Swag Surf, Salmon and Prince. Not Alozi, but Salmon and Nichelle Prince. I mean, Salmon and Nichelle Prince. Shea
oh,
Butter
God.
And one. Mitch Purse being a whole video game. Embarrassing people. You too, if you like beaches. Shea Butter Dom. The OG
nah,
Mac
likes,
Attack. J Mac.
New York City.
Nubia added the OG Mac Attack. Okay, I like that for J Mac. 31st assist, first all time.
And
with 175 caps.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Gonna be playing.
And she would have more.
She sure would have more if you let Ebony say
she weren't on that team. She weren't on that team.
If Kim Bajorn.
Yeah.
If he played, he first got to play J Mac.
Kim be gone, because I don't think he's gonna be there.
Kim be gone. If he decided to play her more and just be like, "Hello, do we want to score goals? Maybe let's put the all-time NWSL assist leader on."
Kim be gone. Oh shit. Yo. Okay. Wow. Shea Butter Olympico. Wait. Did the Bina score off a set piece?
Yeah, because I don't think she meant it. I don't think she meant
it. Was like
it
a Strauss.
It don't matter. Yeah. It's a Strauss. We see you out here.
It's a Strauss, yeah.
Shea Butter Brick. Oh, yeah. Monty Dorsey and Estelle Johnson against Washington. Because.
Yeah. Amani has been going so hard the past two games. I don't know what you did. I mean, I saw McCall Zerboni do a step over and a turn, and I said, oh my God, what is going on with this football institution? I was like, there are things happening.
What is happening?
I literally saw that, and Jenna and I went, we've never seen that before. No, but Amani Dorsey has actually really been on one. She, like, keeps intercepting passes in the most, like, joga bonito way that I've seen. Like, it's always, like, 2 feet in the air doing something crazy.
Yeah, she does get her leg up there a lot. But control, right. For the most part.
All right, so... Wait.
Can we do two here?
Yeah, Shea Butter Skirt. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So, Fallon Toulouse Joyce against the North Carolina Courage situation. But then also, who?
AD
French.
For that...
Adriana... What's her middle name? Michelle?
Sure.
LaQuisha?
That's definitely
the legend?
Not LaQuisha.
Those are two very different options.
It's Nicole.
Thank you.
Nicole. Adriana
standard,
Nicole French.
Standard black girl middle name. Nicole.
No, it is now Adriana LaQuisha.
Is she doing a damn thing? Like the homies from around the way. I see a girl.
Oh my god.
I might have to change my Twitter name to Adriana LaQuisha France.
Please do it. I can't wait. Please.
Okay, I'm just starting the whole episode. Okay. Shea Butter mic check. I don't know. I think the Binya attempted to try to kick something or Caroline. That was just, I mean, old girl was sweet.
Is that the most unstoppable attack in certainly the U.S., right?
If they're healthy, probably, yes.
With Odonia, they're healthy, yes.
What can you do with that? Yeah.
Nothing. Shea Butter heat check. Trinity, what she did to Allie Riley.
Oh, that was such a beautiful pass that she laid to Mickey Yoon, and Mickey Yoon could not run onto it. And I was just like, how the
praise
fuck
God.
Did you
hallelujah.
See that? How the fuck did you see that? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I was like, hallelujah, thank you, God.
I made a noise. Oh,
yeah, her
my
vision
God,
was
insane.
Yeah, she made a noise,
ridiculous.
And I was like, can you please? Because I was stressed.
Also, I'm not going to lie, did not have Allie Riley being able to shut that down.
I was upset about it.
But she balled.
Oh, and Shea Butter Furniture moving.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Shea Butter Furniture moving per usual. Estelle Johnson, the legend, versus Trinity Rodman. Shea Butter's son, for those, the unsung heroes out here in the streets, Darian Jenkins, Deani.
Kachawi.
GSG.
There you
go. Can we go back to Orlando real quick? Because I just need Seb to play Darian Jenkins and Ali Watt together. Stop playing. He did it a little bit, finally, for the first game. Last game, I think it was like, 20, 30 minutes they got together. But he has not done it from the start. Ooh. I need that to happen.
I would also
do it
like
against
Ali
San Diego.
Watt to stop being put in the midfield.
Yes,
yeah,
stop that. That's not her ministry.
I'm sorry. I didn't see that game. What now?
She was in the midfield.
It's happened a few times.
Oh, yeah,
it
happened.
And
yeah,
I love Ali Watt with my whole heart.
No,
she is not a midfielder.
Why is she in the midfield?
She's not a midfielder. That's not her ministry. Okay.
Put anybody, but not her. Yeah, don't do that.
Why is she not the player where you're trying to play on the counter and you send the ball to her? Why is she sending the ball? Make it
send her on the counter with Haley.
Let them go.
Yeah, let that go.
Between that, putting Courtney Peterson up top too.
Oh,
people said,
"Wow!"
And I said, "It happened.
That.
I've seen it twice."
Okay.
Yeah, some of these coaches are making choices. All right, sorry.
All right, focus so we can get the Taylor Smith, Caroline, do that thing, and then Simone and Jasmine. Jasmine was out here laying Shea Butter bricks while also having to play midfield and also being a forward and sending out crosses. Yes, thank you for correcting that. And then other news, LaQuisha French was placed in the Hall of Honor. So when we were all yelling, why wasn't she in the game as Mallory Pugh terrorized Kansas City?
Oh my God.
It's because she was getting honored. Also, shout out to Kristen Press out here making baller moves on
and
every freaking podcast.
Stanford Hall of Fame as well.
Hall of Fame. Pay all that. See, we see you. Vicky Lopez becomes the youngest player ever. Oh, yeah. To play for Barcelona in a professional
future real
era.
Black, yo.
We see you, legend. If you too like beaches, eventually.
That ain't what this section is for.
There's plenty of beaches
that's
in
true.
Barcelona. You know
okay,
that.
Okay,
all
right.
Barcelona is literally a beach city.
All beaches.
Why y'all haters got to rain on my parade? Anyway, Becky Spencer, she had 100 appearances in the WSL. Baller. Jasmine Spencer had yesterday 150 appearances. If we've missed anybody, let me know. But
I think she got it on the road technically, but yes, they celebrated.
But to close us out, we're going to get into hits and roofs, where we give our hits.
J-Mac hit a mouse, and I think she hit 175.
Yeah, she did. So, yeah, she did. All right, so hits and roofs. Okay. So we're going to do one song for the old and yesterday, because we taking forever. So hits and roofs. All right. My old song is Suddenly da, 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 to Me by Billy Ocean.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to sing it. Okay.
We went through this. We practiced, dog.
We did sing. Before y'all got on, we were singing. I just didn't know we were going to actually...
Wake up and suddenly...
Okay. You talk about time, and then you singing the whole song.
Don't do that. Okay, say your piece.
So we're doing one. I chose Endangered Species by Diane Reeves because Shirley Ralph opened her In Me speech, singing part of the intro to that song.
Say?
Mine is Dawn Penn, You Don't Love Me. Download it. Listen to it.
Okay.
Classic.
That's my song. Yes. No. Sorry.
It's not how it goes.
Wow. Court. God.
Payback.
Sorry, there's part of it. I actually tapped on the song. The only thing that has really been keeping me from Renaissance is the fact that I've been listening to Prince. So it's a tie between Let's Go Crazy and I Want to Be Your Lover.
Princess,
that's the only thing that can keep me from listening to Renaissance on repeat, but it's because I hear listen to Alien Superstar and I go, I want to listen to some Prince.
Alien Superstar.
That's what you are.
I need unique? My Angelou video again.
Yo, was that earlier this episode? Somebody said, whoever said something unique, I almost said unique, but it was a serious moment.
Always.
I almost said it, but it was a serious moment.
But there's always time. There's always time for a unique.
Unique? Unique.
That's what you are.
She sounds like Maya Angelou. That's why it works. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Your turn. My new Freak Like Me, like a freak in the morning, freak in the evening, but by Chloe, Spotify edition. That actually is fire because it sounds like it's a slow down. Yo, it's a slow down version. It's fire. Go listen to the version. All right, I'm done.
They have some good remakes, by the way. But yeah, okay. I guess Haley can't do that no more because she's Ariel now. So, okay.
yeah, you can't. Ariel got it in. Sorry. Under the Sea. Go ahead.
That's how racist people are. They're mad that a mermaid is black. Okay. All right. Synergy. I'm going, it's not super new, but I'm going No Role Models by J. Cole.
Okay.
Because like most millennials, black millennials and black Gen Xers, their only regret is that they were too young for Nia Long. And that's very timely.
Wow. Okay. Yo, she fine.
Those DMs are going to be insane.
My Nigerian brother, what was wrong with you, bro?
What are you doing? Okay, this is a rant.
She was at home. Sorry. Nia Long is so fine, man. She's a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah.
Not amen. Hallelujah.
She's Nia motherfucking Long. Sorry. Oh, okay.
Hey,
I'm done.
Yo, that Kanye, the clip of her.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The Kanye. That's exactly what I went. Okay.
My bad. All right. Go ahead. Who's next? Who was it? Was
Andre.
It you or Andre?
That was me.
Andre.
So, like Courtney said, the only thing to pull her away from Renaissance has been Prince. I haven't been pulled away from Renaissance in a good long while. So, mine is the whole run from like the 3-minute mark of Heated when she just starts going off to Thick to All Up in Your Mind to America Has a Problem to Pure Honey to Summer Renaissance. I keep listening to that over and over and over.
Okay. The end of the album run. I respect
that. That's like the end of the album. Yeah. I was like,
yeah,
the
I straight up listen to it. Yeah, he I'll start with Heated and I'll just write to that mark and then I let it run. Yeah.
Okay. I feel you. America Has a Problem is definitely one of my favorites.
We need to make a. If you're coming to the championship, we need to make a line dance.
Oh. Okay.
When America Has a Problem starts and it goes dun 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 dun, you do the pop, pop.
Yes.
Okay.
Every single time. Yeah. Every single time I hear the song, I immediately start dancing. What part of Renaissance? I mean, I've really only really been listening to Renaissance. Besides, in break my soul from 307 to 312. There's a mini key change. It's really okay. good. Wow. If you didn't catch it the first time, then you catch, like, there's some things going on in the background yeah. of the piano, and it's fine.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I hear new stuff almost every time. Yeah.
Church Girl.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Oh,
don't hurt I did nobody.
It was one of the funniest TikToks I've seen. It's like, really happy that Beyonce dropped a new EP. And they were like, did the first three songs that, like, melt together, and then it's like, Cuff It, Energy, Break My Soul. And the third one, he goes, Church Girl. And just like moves on to like he did the rest of the runs that
it must together, be your, it must be your because it ain't your face dad that's a rough line
must be the
to your own husband good face. God
what did he do
that like
he's done a lot a lot
that man
church you're lacking these bags
and that's what happens when you cheat. Hey, what, but
Neil,
hey, when
the, Neil Long and Shakira in the same year. My God. All right.
Wait. So when is the aggressive portion when she's like, drop it like it? I'd be throwing it back in the car. Just be like,
the image, Jesus.
My favorite part is just, you know, face, God.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, and then eat it. Yummy. Every time I hear that, I'm just like, yummy.
Oh my God. Everyone's like, my favorite song still, Cuff It. That's yeah. where I am right now.
Cuff is.
Can it's I sit on top favorite. Of you? And so eloquently so.
It sure
is. Like, it's just inappropriate.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. Or, super well. Yeah. Or yeah. the end of Summer Renaissance.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? It's like Victor D and Givenchy. So, my favorite part. So elegant and raunchy. I think about that probably once a day.
Yeah. Well, that's it, y'all. That's the end of the episode. Thank you all for coming on this show.
Oh, you're welcome. And sticking it out the late hours.
In the late hours of the morning. But anyway, it's not morning for y'all. It's morning for us. No, maybe I'm tripping. I'm losing my mind. But
I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's
the evening. It's the morning somewhere. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. But anywho, we need to get our shout outs in. So shout out to the 2 Cents fam. 2 Cents FC Show, FTC United, Can I Kick It? Dreaming of Freedom, Walking 90, Kaya, all y'all, everybody, all 50 billion people. Shout out to Diaspora United, all y'all here. Tall ass Andre, Corny Tall too. I didn't write these out. Shout out to Nubia. No. Oh, speaking of which, shout out to the street team.
Yes.
To the New York NJY. Do y'all say that? Is that how y'all say New Jersey? No,
the New York NJY?
Well, no, I just
NJ
thought about it.
NJY, like how it's said on the, like.
Well, yeah, it is right here, but I've seen people go NJY to try to, like, combine y'all. But anyway, Nubia, oh, that,
no, that's
JG.
What the broadcaster does. Instead of doing NJNY, they put NJY, and I go.
I don't like it.
And then Georgia, also shout out to Match Day Picks. Shout out to North Carolina Courage Situation, Outfitting Team, Ebony and all her people. Shout out to LA, roommate Alex. And then shout out to in the Florida situation, Super Macario.
Yes.
Our sponsors are who?
Galpal Sports and Carolyn Needles.
Shout out to Carolyn linking up with Nubia in the streets.
Yeah.
That's cool. And we got a patron. And we gotta figure out where we're gonna shoot this Patreon episode that's supposed to be happening supposedly soon.
We got another week. I believe in us.
Anywho. And oh yeah, tall ass Andre's gonna be on there, and Courtney is welcome to join too. when you, she was so salty. She was so.
I was like, wow. You said this invite is for Andre only, and I said, wow. Okay, what am I, chopped liver?
Damn.
By the way, if you're on our Patreon, you would know our episode that we're going to watch the crazy Brazil versus Australia game. So that's gonna be fun. A lot of vibes. But anyway, what are we gonna do? We're gonna stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
And we're gonna make sure the black women in your life, my life, everybody's life is celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
Stay black. Keep your feet in the car. White people, read a book. Read an anti-racist book.
Read a motherfucking book. Sorry.
Hey.
You said keep your feet in the car, and Sils and I both made the exact same thing.
I was like, what does that mean? Where else would they be?
Absolutely.
We both went,
well, shit. Hmm? Don't, don't touch nothing. Stay in line. Anyway, thank you.
Wash your legs and arms and change your bed sheets. Peace.
With a washcloth.
And also, yes, listen to the Diaspora. Listen to our crossover with Diaspora United on the other episode. Yes.
And wash behind your ears and wash your belly button. Okay, now I'm done.
All right. And on that note, bye. Peace. Everybody say bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.